You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Tuesday, February 18th.
It is.
It's
Martin Luther's death anniversary.
The anniversary of his death.
Yes.
The commemoration?
Commemoration of his death.
Is that the right word?
That's how I wrote it on our social media this morning. So
Don't you appreciate how I always look to you to see what today's all about?
There's always something special happening.
Absolutely. Two good things on deck that I'm excited to talk about today. We're going to meet this week and next week. We're going to meet some friends from Lutheran Bible Translators, learn about their work as missionaries and Bible translation. So I'm excited about that. Today we get to meet one of the advisors for a translation project. So I'm looking forward.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. And also, we're going to take a look at a recurring column in the... Is it a column or an article? I'm not a journalist, so...
We'll go with article? Columns in newspapers?
Okay, so...
I don't know. Pastor Askins can tell us
this. This is true. The benediction article that's in the back of each issue of the Lutheran Witness. This month's really struck me as very interesting. So invited the author of this month's article to join us in studio. So we're going to talk about that as well. Isn't it fun when something strikes you and you just want to talk about
fun.
It?
You didn't get hurt, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
It didn't. But it certainly caught my attention. I was very intrigued by it. So thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at CUW.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us this morning is Michael Erslin, Translation Advisor for the Comba Old Testament Project with Lutheran Bible Translators. Michael, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on the Coffee Hour. Good to have you with us this morning, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. So, Michael, when did you first begin thinking about serving as a missionary or a Bible translator?
As a kid, I grew up in rural Kansas, and we would have a mission festival every fall where all the different churches in the circuit would gather together for a service, and they would have a missionary come and speak about what they've been doing. And so I really enjoyed that time to get to hear these stories from missionaries. And apparently, I told my parents and some of the missionaries and family, like, I want to be a missionary when I grow up. But I kind of forgot that until high school. In high school, one of my sisters, she went to Concordia University, Wisconsin, and she studied nursing and missions. And I really appreciated getting to hear from her about her my interest. And so before my senior year of high school, I was able to go with another sibling to do some service work cross-culturally for a week. And that kind of confirmed my interest in cross-cultural work. So I went to Concordia, Wisconsin, and I started studying missions. And I met with the missions professor there, and he suggested, how about I look into studying something to go alongside missions, like a type of profession to accompany it. And I was interested in languages at the time, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to begin my freshman year off with taking Koine Greek. And I came to find out about Bible translation. Who knew? So I went and talked with my professor, and it's like, Lutheran Bible translators, do people still like do this thing? And he was so excited. He said yes, and he put me in connection with Lutheran Bible translators and a degree in Bible translation, biblical languages for translation and missions. And that's kind of what got me on the track to where I am today with serving overseas with Lutheran Bible translators.
This is really linguistics and languages. It's a fascinating world. Tell us a little bit more about what actually goes into learning the linguistics and the languages. What is it? Your bachelor's in biblical languages for translation. What actually goes into learning those things so that you can apply it after you graduate?
Great question. So when I was at Wisconsin, some of the classes I took were biblical Hebrew, Koine Greek, and those gave me an introduction to understand how the scriptures were originally written. When we have the Old Testament, it's in Hebrew, and the New Testament in Greek. Some people today who are listening may not realize, but the Bible wasn't written in English at first. It's an actual translation, but it's still good. People should still read their Bibles. I'm not saying it's bad. So, and other things then, when I graduated from Mequon, I then came to school, went to a school in Dallas called the Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics. It's now called Dallas International University. And I started taking linguistic classes. And what that means is I started studying how languages function, the way different sounds are around the world. There are some sounds in languages that we don't have in English, how words are created. Like maybe some people have flashbacks to Hook It on Phonics. That's trying to go with how do we create and construct words in a language? And the rules are different from place to place. And then grammar, how do we use those rules for conveying different aspects of a language, such as marking features for tense in verbs, or how do nouns operate, or adjectives? And so all of those building blocks were kind of, I was immersed into, to use that information. I got a certificate in applied linguistics to be able to learn how to operate in other languages and kind of get a glimpse into studying them.
This is so cool. Well,
I know.
Yeah, it's kind of, it can sound overwhelming.
It is.
It's a step-by-step thing. Like, when I look back, I'm like, oh my goodness, I wouldn't have realized where I am today if I would have thought about, oh, all this is what, you know, will have to happen. I would have been like, oh my goodness. But when I look back, I'm like, wow, God works step-by-step, guiding and directing as we need, where we are. And it's really cool to see how that works. So
tell us about the project you're involved with, the Combo Old Testament project.
I'm sorry, that cut out. What was the question?
Tell us about the Combo Old Testament project and your involvement with that.
Okay, great. The Komba people, they work in Ghana. They live in Ghana, sorry, northern Ghana in West Africa. There's around 250,000 speakers, and most of them are in a rural setting, a rural area, and they asked for Lutheran Bible translators to start working with a Bible translation back in the early 2000s. And so some of my colleagues went in 2003, Nathan Esla and David Federwitz, and they started doing preliminary work with creating an orthography, creating primers for the language, and then doing the New Testament, which was dedicated in 2014. And right after they dedicated the New Testament, they then began working on the Old Testament lectionary readings. And for people who don't know what the lectionary is it's in church on Sunday, usually in the Lutheran churches, we have an Old Testament reading, an epistle, and a gospel reading. And that's called the lectionary, where it's these set readings each Sunday. And so they started working on translating the Old Testament portions because they didn't have access to that then in Komba for church services. And they finished that about around the time that I arrived in 2016. And then we jumped in working through the complete books of the Old Testament. And there's different stages for the translation process. And for right now, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Psalms are all ready for pre-publication, trial publication. And we've been working on team proofreading, Judges, 1 Kings right now, and then the translators. I work with a team of three Komba men. They are doing drafting of other books. They're almost finished with the prophets and have the wisdom literature left. So it's kind of exciting, and that's the great thing about it, is it's a big teamwork thing. It can seem really daunting, but when I step back and think about it, it's not just me and the translators I work with, but it's us as an entire team. And it's really cool how God uses his church as a whole to be participators in this project, in this process. And it isn't all on just one person to do it.
Absolutely. That is a significant project to undertake as a team. And just the timeline of, that you're talking about, this taking years to produce, but the final project is going to be pretty incredible. What's been the most challenging thing for you during this project?
I would say one of the most challenging things for me is that as a person coming from
Michael, are you still there? Oh, looks like we lost our connection with Michael.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I really wanted to know the answer to the question.
Me too. Hopefully we can get reconnected with him. Looks like we lost him for a moment. That is just fascinating, learning about linguistics. And I studied Koine Greek in college, mm-hmm. started Hebrew, didn't quite get to where I needed to be in that. But, you know, what he's sharing about, what he's shared about languages and just his study of languages and where that began is really affirming for me. Our decision to teach our son Latin early,
yes,
starting in like first or second grade, to start teaching him languages there as the foundation for all languages, mm-hmm. Because I mean, you could hear as he was talking about linguistics and learning the parts of speech in biblical languages how valuable that was. So that's mm-hmm. really affirming. And I have to give a shout out and kudos to Cheryl Swope for introducing me to that in the, from Simply Classical and Memoria Press and their introduction of Latin early on, the little Prima Latina, that's really like second grade, I think, is what they recommend, mm-hmm. what she's recommended. So hopefully we'll get started with that. And who knows, maybe we'll have a future Bible translator as well.
That would be pretty cool.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to get reconnected with Michael. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sad.
Maybe we'll post the answer to that question.
That would be great to reconnect with him and get to share the rest of the story down the road. Maybe we'll have another chance to connect with him because I wanted to hear more about his continuing education as well. He's back at the Institute. So he's working on, I think, more classes and continuing his education as a translator. So hopefully we'll get to reconnect with him in the future and learn more about his work as a translator. And the next time, next week, we get to go to Ghana, I believe, and connect with one of the missionaries serving there. So thanks so much, Michael. Hopefully we'll reconnect with you soon. Sorry that our connection dropped out, but we'll hopefully reconnect soon and share more of that story. And more on the way, we're going to take a look at the February issue of the Lutheran Witness. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Websites selling binary options claim they are low-cost, high-reward investments. What they don't tell you is that binary options are high-risk bets where the odds are stacked against you, that withdrawing money is often almost impossible, and the representatives will contact you with intense sales tactics or even threats. Protect yourself. Don't let anyone pressure you into making investments or quick decisions. Visit MissouriProtectsInvestors.com to learn more. Paid for by the Missouri Secretary of State's Investor Education and Protection Fund.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/careers.
Concord Matters is the program where we seek to be of one mind, that is, the mind of Christ. And to do that, Christ-confessing Concordians read through and discuss the Book of Concord, which is our Lutheran confession of faith drawn from Holy Scripture, so that you too may be of one mind and confess with Christ. Be sure to listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central on KFUO Radio, or anytime on KFUO.org or anywhere you get your podcasts. Until we convene for Concord again, keep confessing, Church.
The
This week on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Anthony Esselin about raising boys. We'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, discussing the Transfiguration with Dr. Carl Fikencher. And we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Gulseth.
It is Tuesday, February 18th, and hopefully by now you have read through most of, if not all of, the February issue of the Lutheran Witness.
Hope so.
Hopefully it's been on your table for a while and
yeah.
Or in your bag. I don't know. Do you do the digital copy or do you the paper copy?
Definitely paper copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old school.
It's true. I'm either paper copy or audiobook. That's kind of how I roll these days.
I do paper copy as well. But one of the things you might notice near the back, it's close to the back cover, is the benediction article each month and a good word at the end of the issue.
As I love these.
The subtitle is there. And the author of this month's benediction is Frank Cohn. He's editorial coordinator for the Lutheran Witness. Frank, thanks so much for joining us in studio this morning.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Your story... It was a very personal story.
Yes.
Which caught me. Like, I was like, wow.
Struck him.
It did. It struck me. And Sarah asked me if I was injured by that.
I was a little nervous to write it because this is all about me. I know we're not supposed to do that because we're Lutheran.
But while it was about you, it was also, your story then leads to a more important story. So it wasn't solely about you.
Right.
It was a story about you that I think is helpful to the rest of us. With the title here, why are we so fixated on being Lutheran? Aren't we all Christians here? I think that was intended to get our attention, right?
I mean, yeah, that's what article titles are for.
Oh, okay.
I can still remember when I first had that thought, too. You know, I still played myself in that situation.
I
remember it vividly, actually.
So tell us a little bit about Frank Cohn. Now is serving in LCMS Communications, but who is Frank Cohn and your background with the Lutheran Church?
Background started when I was hired here at the International Center.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a Christian. I believed in God on his good days. That was my, you know, that's what I would say back then. And, you know, I knew something was out there and better than us. And I was hopeful for that, too, you know, because I thought if this is the best, you know, we have, you know, I just want to end it right now. And but I knew nothing. If somebody asked me who Jesus was, that's God's son, right? You know, and I wasn't raised in the church. I was baptized, but I was not raised. But then it didn't, you know, for whatever reason, did not go to church. And I get the job here in 2001. It's been almost 19 years already. And then a few years later, I was invited to church, and I've been there ever since.
What did Lutheran mean to you back then? I mean, working in this building that has Lutheran on the front of the building, what did it mean to you 19 years ago?
It was my previous job was working with a newspaper, and I this was in Southern Illinois, in Waterloo, Illinois, and I was near Camp Wartburg.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
a couple of assignments was to take photos out there for the paper, and I thought, yes, I'm gonna not gonna lie, it was a little weird, So when I got the job here, I did it, you know, for personal reasons. The pay was better, mm-hmm. and it was advantageous for me. And mm-hmm. it was scary at the beginning, but I blended in okay. And, people were nice to me.
I'm just gonna hide at my desk.
And so, like I said, then a few years later, I was invited to church. Actually, it was for a trivia night auction.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. So St. Louis.
And then, on that trivia night, our team won free auction tickets. So I went to the auction, and then the pastor said, "So Frank, when are you going to come join us at church?" And I thought, "Oh, here we go. But then I went to church, and I've been there ever since.
Mm-hmm. I love the trivia night part of that. That's great.
Who knew that trivia night could be a gateway to meeting?
You hear that, all those trivia night people?
but as far as who am I, and maybe as Christianity, I came to it very late in life, late 30s, early 40s, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. So the this term Lutheran and Christianity, you know, your the title of your article, "Why Are We So Fixated on Being Lutheran? Aren't We All Christians Here?" The quote from your article. What was your idea? What was your understanding at that time, you know, like 10 years ago or more, 10, 20 years ago, of Lutherans, Christians, these denominations? What was your understanding of that at that time?
I had no understanding of that, actually, because I had no understanding of basic doctrine or any kind of theology, if that makes sense. I think part of it, you know, when I asked that question, you know, why, you know, what's this big thing about being Lutheran? Before I became a Christian, I would look at maybe as the Christian church as being exclusive. You had to be a certain, you know, they only accept certain types or something, certain types of people. And maybe that carried over when I did become a Christian, when I believe who, you know, Jesus did this for me. He died for my sins. I believe this. And I thought, when maybe it carried over now with this Lutheran thing, oh, now we're exclusive. This is exclusive, you know, perhaps. But, you know, I looking back on it, probably I was thinking, hey, what's the difference? We all let Jesus into our hearts. For people who can't see, I'm using the quote marks.
Air quotes. Air quotes.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I went with. Yes.
So you had this trivia night. The pastor, you went to an auction. The pastor invited you to church, and then there's this other journey then from that point.
Correct.
What then led you to really embrace the Lutheran doctrine, Lutheran faith?
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
No. It's a good question. As you go on, like I said, I wasn't still grounding myself in theology, you know, in reading the Bible. I think I went from the point where, yes, this is the gospel. No, what do we do now? Now, I think that's what it was about for me then was how can I, God, thank you for, you know, you brought me into your family through Christ. Thank you. You know, now what do I got to do to stay in it? If that makes sense, you know, so I don't get kicked out. And that's what I went with. And, you know, to make a long story short, of course, you do that. You try harder and you try harder and you keep some kind of spiritual scorecard, which I mentioned in the article. Oh, today was a great day. And the next day was not a good day. And you go into despair. You know, I'll have to try again tomorrow. I knocked down a few pegs today. And so basically it was more works based. And when we didn't understand, I didn't understand Lutheran theology that there's nothing I can do to keep myself in. It's been done. You know, Jesus has done it, and you know, so just you receive that, and now you go out, and yes, you do serve your neighbor out of gratitude as a way of saying thank you to God, and you're so happy to do it, not obligated. I think, you know, the Lutheran, what got to me about it was, yes, it's not an obligation, and when you look at it that way, you're only going to drive yourself to despair, and even worse, you project it on yourself. You have this tendency also to project it on others, too, which was also a problem.
Who was instrumental in teaching you, helping you study the scriptures and teaching you and providing guiding you to the Lutheran confessions and the insights and the clarity that brings to your identity as a Christian?
It's a few things, but I can remember the DCE at my church, just for Christmas, he gave gifts to people who would serve. I was helping serve as a high school counselor at the time. And he gave me a copy of a book by Gene Veith, A Theology of the Cross. And that was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
That was terrific. And it was readable. You know, sometimes Christian books, especially by theologians, tend to just, you know, at that time, that wouldn't have helped.
Yeah.
But that was, that was the way he explained things, and I still have it. In my fact, like the spine, it's ruined now, and next, I still go back to it. And what also helped also was, I can mention it here because I don't. The shows, I think, are The White Horse Inn. Some of those episodes, because they explain the gospel so clearly, and I know it's not a Lutheran show per se, but I know there's Lutherans on that show, which so there. They explained what the gospel was, and I just through that I was able to find out where I discovered where I was going wrong, what I had wrong, what I had dreadfully wrong.
That's interesting. The two things that were also very key in my formation as well. Both of those resources that you mentioned.
Look at that.
Yeah, we're probably close. Well, you're probably younger than I am. but the Theology of the Cross from Veith was just...
It's a great book.
It is. Okay. And okay. I think it's in second edition now, maybe. Uh-huh. I know it's been distributed widely because it's such a useful resource in providing clarity in Christian vocation, particularly as Lutherans teach that from the scriptures.
And the law and the gospel and the sacraments and just everything.
Right.
And the beauty of the Lutheran service too. And yeah, when I used to say, what that book helped me with was I used to say, why do Lutherans always look to the catechism for things? Why don't we just pick up the Bible? And then I read Jean V's book. You know, he talked about, I mentioned that what's with the liturgy all the time? Isn't this kind of dull and repetitive, monotonous? And then I read Jean V's book, and I was thinking, why don't we go to the Bible? And Veith explains, it is in the Bible. The liturgy is from the Bible. The small catechism is the, it explains the Bible. So that was very helpful too, and eye-opening.
Yeah.
It's just the smelling salts I needed.
I like that. It's a good line.
I've never equated Veith's book to smelling salts. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, what you shared with us in this month's benediction, I think is very valuable and very, I don't know, certainly a story that I can relate to. Dear friends, check it out in the February issue of the Lutheran Witness. Frank, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.